Well, good morning, everybody, again. Last week we began a two-week sermon series on the book of Malachi. We learned that God has this incredible love for his people, that this love was set, it was established, it was made covenant hundreds and hundreds of years earlier, and that God, regardless of what Israel was doing, that God was standing by the covenant he had made with the patriarchs, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we saw how God's people didn't act like God's people, that they forgot who and whose they were, and that the forgetfulness, the primary cause of their forgetting was because of their worship. Their worship wasn't right. It was faulty. It was less than. Their worship, it affected their sacrifice. It affected their presence in worship. And that because they were not grounded in worship, pollution then began to eat at them. They began to eat at them. It ate at their families, their children, their communities. And right in the midst of all of that polluted mess, God cries out to them, "Return to me, and I will return to you." It was a grace that they did not earn. It was a grace they didn't deserve. It's a grace that we can't earn. And it's a grace that we don't deserve either. And that brings us then to the second part of Malachi. Malachi, when you read it, it really kind of sums up the whole of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. It points out what it's been pointing to, that God's people cannot be faithful to the covenant. God's people simply cannot be faithful to the covenant. That they have failed over and over and over again. And while God will rightfully deal with that sin, he will not abandon them. God promises to redeem a remnant and send the Messiah to fulfill the covenant that was established. And the very first steps in God's plan of redemption found in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, that God will send us the prophets. "Look," Malachi writes, "look, I am sending my messenger. He will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will come suddenly to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you look for so eagerly, is coming, says the Lord of heaven's armies." My messenger, God says, my messenger will prepare the way by warning of the coming of the Lord and the messenger of the covenant. Now, Malachi is forecasting, is prophesying John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus and called the people of God to repent. John would say, "A clear path must be made for God. We've got to cut down these mountains of human pride and make a humble plain for God to be able to walk across." Or as we heard from our children's message this morning, right? It's time to red up the house. God is coming. Let's get cleaning. Let's prepare. Let us get ourselves ready. The idea of this messenger to prepare God's way is also found in Malachi chapter 4, 5, and 6, where he's identified as the prophet Elijah. And Malachi says, "Look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." And Jesus himself testifies that this Elijah that Malachi was speaking of is none other than John the Baptist. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, "Before John the Baptist, before John came, All of the prophets and the law of Moses looked forward to this present time. And if you are willing to accept what I say, he is Elijah, the one the prophets said would come. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. You know, God knew that we needed help. And so God sent these prophets, these messengers ahead, telling them that the Messiah was coming. And it wasn't just Malachi. It was Isaiah and Samuel, Moses, Micah, Zechariah, and more. Malachi told God's people that even though they had strayed far away from God, that even though they had allowed this pollution into their lives, that God the Father would continue to reach out to them. And God would use the prophets to do this. You know, the role of the Old Testament prophet was to serve as God's representative or ambassador by communicating God's word to his people. True prophets never spoke on their own authority. They didn't share their opinion as to what was going on in the world, but rather they delivered the message that God himself gave to them. And the primary message that God gave the prophets was that God was sending the promise. Malachi chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, it says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture. On the day when I act, you will tread upon the wicked as if they were dust under your feet, says the Lord of heaven's armies." You know, church, this is our yes and amen. You know, I just said a few minutes ago how Malachi points out the fact that God's people cannot be faithful to the covenant. I mean, you read through the Old Testament, man, they failed time and time and time again. They fell short. But I think if we're honest, it's really not that much different with us. We know that if we're being truthful, that we need help, that we fall short, that we continue to sin. We short God in our worship, and the consequences are not good. Much like the people Malachi were writing to, we've allowed pollutions to enter into our lives. And so God sends the promise. God sends Jesus. And if you remember again how last week God says, "Return to me and I will return to you." You realize God in his mercy knew that us moving first, us returning to him, was never going to happen. And so God moves first. God comes to us, as he knows sin clouds our thinking and it just isn't in our ability. You know, a verse familiar with many of us to help us explain why God didn't wait for us, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Have you ever really gotten mad at someone before? I mean, really, you get angry at them. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a child, a friend. Something has happened in your relationship and hurt feelings have happened and an apology has to occur. But before you can hear that apology, you need to hear them say what they are sorry for. That ever happened to anybody? Ever have those feelings? And I'm not going to say whether that approach is right or wrong, but I think it's a universal feeling. Because sometimes when you are hurt and when you are angry, the other person wants to apologize. You just need to know if they truly understand how they hurt you. That's not God. You know, John 3:16 doesn't say, "For God so loved the world," after they had explained what they were sorry for. In fact, God continues in John 3 by saying this: "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God sent his Son not to condemn, but to save. And maybe you need to hear that this morning. Maybe you need to hear that God is not out to get you. You know, the thematic arch of Malachi, as we've been talking about it, is privilege, pollution, prophets, promise. This is what God wanted the people of Israel to hear. He wanted them to know that they were special in his sight. Right? God had made covenant with them, and these were the chosen people. Right? That's the privilege, the promise that they, or the pollution, that they had allowed sin to enter into their worship. And that sin impacted their lives, their children's lives, and their community. And then God sent the prophets, people who would proclaim this message of repentance and hope. Finally, God would send the promised one, the Messiah, the one that over 300 prophecies foretell. Now, lest we think that this isn't a message that pertains to us, right? We relegate it to the Old Testament. Well, we're people of the New Testament. This is a message that we too need to hear. Right? We've already heard John 3:16 this morning, that God so loves the world that he would send his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. Every single person in this room, every single person in our world is deeply loved by God. That's the foundation, right? That's the base. You are loved by God. That is our privilege. That's our position. But each and every one of us also has a sin problem. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 puts it this way: "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All of us are guilty. From our very oldest person here, and I'm not going to ask for anybody to raise her hand, to our very youngest person. Each and every sin is offensive to God. We think, well, I'm not a murderer. I haven't, you know, killed thousands of people. Each and every one of us has lied. Each and every one of us carries a pride. Put ourselves first. Right? Our Creator has called us to be holy. Our Creator has called us to be set apart for him, and yet we decide every day to go our own way. We make choices that lead us away from God. God calls us to worship him. God calls us to put him first in our lives, and we cannot be bothered by that. Our sin is our pollution, and every one of us has it. But then God gave us his word. God, in his word, God shares his love for each and every one of us. And that should be enough. But God even goes further. God sends then his Holy Spirit, who reaches out to us, reveals the very presence of God to us. Our eyes can become illuminated and we can know that there is a God above. And if it wasn't enough that God sent his word and that God sent his Holy Spirit, God places people in our lives who share with us the truth of God. These people have been Sunday school teachers, youth group leaders, men and women of God who greet us at the door, people in church that says, I'm thankful you're here today, or I've missed you. You're special. God has put pastors and teachers and servants all around us, each one telling us, giving us a part of the story about this hope that we have in Jesus. These people have been the prophets to us, pointing us to Jesus. And then God gave us his son. And despite the way that we treated our privilege, despite the way that we allowed the pollution in our lives, despite the way that we have ignored the prophets God has given us, he gave us his son. God sent his son not to deny the fact that we sin or to help us forget the fact that we sin. His denials and cover-ups were never a part of his purpose. God wanted to do away with sin once and for all. In Christ, God forgave sin and released us from its penalty. That through faith in Jesus, we have full deliverance from our guilt. Not only that, but we have deliverance from the hold of sin itself. We have true salvation and a real peace with God. The Apostle Paul writes, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The unwavering promise of God assures us that we can be reconciled to him. There is no need to fear him or flee from his presence. Indeed, we can come boldly into the very presence of God. He is the one who relentlessly pursues us with his love and his grace. Our God moved first. Our God saw us in our sin and came running for us. How do you respond to a God like that? How do we respond to our Heavenly Father who has given us everything? We give them ourselves. We turn over our lives. Here I am, dear God, all of me. Change me, mold me, make me into your image. Help me overcome the sin in my life. Help me to be the man or woman of God you have called me to be. It is possible through Jesus. God, who said, return to me and I will return to you, said, I will come to you. Will you accept the gift? Will you receive from me the gift I'm giving you today? Let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for the promise that you give us in Jesus, the promise of forgiveness, the promise of family, the promise of hope, the promise of reconciliation. Lord, we recognize that we have fallen short. And we have allowed things in our lives that have no place. Forgive us, we pray. Thank you for coming to us first. Thank you for not waiting until we fully understood, but rather you demonstrate your love for us in this, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Jesus. We need you so desperately. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.